You know the outer expression of soul, what it is? It is called attention. And you must have experienced such like things in your life when you're sitting absorbed in some thought. Somebody calls you once, twice, thrice, you do not hear. When you want to have an injection, what do? You just, as you divert your attention, at once they say, all right, now inject. Pain is felt but less. So, this outgoing faculties get things from us. So this is what Master tells us, you see. You've got the golden opportunity in which you can rise above body consciousness and can know yourself and also the over self that is controlling you in the body. So this practical experience is had when you sit at the feet of somebody who may be called by any name you like, who is adept in this science, respectable science. What are scriptures? Scriptures, those who transcended the physical body, traversed into the beyond, whatever they had experienced there, they have put it in writing for our guidance. So there are many masters who came and went to the beyond and they put down their experience in the scriptures, and we are fortunate in the 20th century we have got scriptures of many masters. Had you come before them, we might have only one or two masters, and they are parallel. In a way, the same for all. Social bodies are different, of course. Man is social. He must have some social body to live in. If you break one, another will have to be formed. There are nowadays more than 700 social bodies working in the world. The social bodies are religion, so-called religion, what he now say, they came into being when? When Master came, they gave out the truth to all what they had seen and gave demonstration of that to others who came up to them. When they left the scene, what did they do? To keep their teachings alive, these schools came into being, the label of which we are carrying now. Master come at the time when there are differences, narrow-mindedness, bigotry on account of ignorance of the unity all religious, they come at such a time. Guru Nanak came at such a time when there are two social bodies, or the social religions, you might say, were existing. Hindus and the Mohammedans. Kabir gave out, I am neither a Hindu nor a Mohammedan. I take both alike. They are the same. It is the labels we are carrying on the bodies. In spite of any labels we are carrying on the body, we are all the same man. And man is further than soul, body, conscious entity. Doubts of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters in God. And we worship God by so many names. The same power that controls us. So this unity, this Master come up to have this realized, this unity realized. Guru Nanak came out at the time, I am neither a Mohammedan nor a Hindu. Allah and God is the same whom we worship. And the people asked him, who you are? He said, well, the label I am carrying, that I am a Hindu. But I am not such a Hindu as you think. And you are only considering the outer label which you call Mohammedanism. You are Muslim. Such like Muslim I am not. Then he told who you are. Then he explained, the body is made up of five elements. This body I am wearing is made of five elements. I am the conscious entity that is working through it, that is living. That I am. saw that bigotry and that in us reduced by coming, wide away. So you will find the outward man body is the true temple of God in which we live. Nowadays you find more than 700 social bodies are there. The master come, don't touch the social bodies. They say they have taken the first step, is all right. If you break one social body, you will have to form another. So first step is all right. But the purpose for which we have joined these social bodies, that we have to think of. And that is to know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves, because it is soul alone that can know God. It cannot be known by the outward faculties, mind or intellect. We have become ignorant. This ignorance starts from where? From the body. We are having the body, wearing the body, not the body. But we are identified with it so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. And we are attached to the world, because soul is of the same essence as that of God. God is all love, and love is innate in our souls. Its attribute is usually to just be attached to somebody. Soul had to be attached to God, all consciousness within him, but is attached to the outside world. That is named as attachment. So all this ignorance starts from where? Or this delusion starts from where? From the man body. We are having the man body, we are not the man body. So the only way to come out of ignorance is to rise above body consciousness, or breaking the roof of the prison house, as Maulana Rum puts it, are to be born anew, are to be twice born. You know, these are thoughts available everywhere. But this you can learn from where? How to rise above body consciousness. How to come in contact. Now I have given you explanation that seat of the soul is at the back of the eye. Controlled by mind, mind is controlled by outward faculties, and outward faculties are driven like anything by the outward enjoyment. Will identify the reason. How to come out of this delusion? One birth is in the body, the other to the beyond. The demonstration of it can be had at the feet of somebody who died daily. St. Paul said, I died daily. Take cross daily. What is cross? Hello? So same teaching, basic teaching are the same in all scriptures which are with us today. But on account of want of practical people, we have forgotten. Now outward temples were made dome-shaped after the model of man body and put in the symbol of light and sound within. Churches were made nose-shaped, and there also you find two symbols of light and sound. Masks are according to the correct shaped, there also you got the symbol of light. So a true Christian is one who sees the light of God. True Hindu is one who sees lights the candles and rings the bell when worshipping God, having those symbols outside. And a Sikh is one who sees the effulgent light in the man body. The ultimate goal of all idealism is the same in all regions. Just see, you want to become a doctor. For that, FSC or BSc degree is necessary. Whoever has it, he can join the medical college. There he sits at the feet of those who are know how this system of the man body works, how it is retarded, how the disease arises, how those can be set right. They give you books that are written by the old doctors. But those who met the old doctor, they give them demonstration of surgery. Now you read the same book, but those doctors are not there. Now we need somebody now who can give us a demonstration of surgery. This is what it means. This wisdom, the old wisdom, not new. We have been forgetting, and the masters have been coming to revise these things. So this needs somebody. If you can rise above yourself, then go try and see. If not, with one word of the, such an adept one, 10 seats or 20 seats or 100 people sit, they give little boost, attention, and he will be down from outside, rise above body consciousness, and the inner eye or the third eye is open, which is called single eye. If thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You will be twice born. You will be born anew. So this is the highest thing that gold is before us in the man body, which is golden opportunity given to us. We have got different levels. That school is better, in which many students come out successful. So we have to see, we have been so long in this man body. We are sitting here 40, 50, 60 years old, even more than that. We have gone the levels of different schools of thought for years. We should now see how we stand. Do we see God? Can He be seen? Master says yes, they are seen. Guru Nanak of us, you say God is apparent everywhere. With what eyes you see? In His head, those eyes are different. Which he can be seen. In the Christian, scripture they say, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Among the Hindus is called third eye at Shivnesa, latent eye, which opens only when your attention is withdrawn from outside, rises above body consciousness, which is the 10th door to pass into the beyond, then that eye opens. Now you know how to rise, to open the eye. If you cannot yourself, why can't you yourself? That's the point. The point is that our souls are identified with the man body, organ faculty. All these outward practices we do for perform, they either relate to the outgoing faculties, body, or as a matter of intellect, dining system. We are already identified with them and perform those practices which relate to them. How can we rise above them? So there is one exotic side and the other is the esoteric side. Exotic side is different from one another. Due to the climatic influences are the customs prevailing in those social bodies. And the inner way, knowing oneself and knowing God, rising above body consciousness, to be reborn, to be twice born, then to die so that human dignity is the same for all. For that we need somebody who has done it. Now those very systems were found with very good motives. The same formation that resulted in stagnation for want of practical people, and stagnation that resulted in deterioration. Master again come up and tells you, dear friend, you are going amiss. They revive this truth which we have forgotten. I went to America here to the outer bodies were made up. Outer temples, churches, all holy places were, holy places of worship were made after the man body and put into symbols of light and sound. They were made only to let people know that such light and such light sound principle is breaking within you. Their models shown. are practical people who sit at the feet of the practical people. For them, man body is the true temple of God. With the grace of God, they rise above body consciousness and see the light of God is shining within us. Those eyes are not opened as yet, they consider the outer models which are made only for their guidance to be the end-all and the be-all and the end-all. Pity it is we who are to find God also working in the same body, and that controlling power which is called God into expression power, the outer expressions of which is light and sound, that also exists in your memory. Both live in the same body and we cannot talk to him for the reason that we were identified outside. We are given up to the life of sense. We have to rise above it, resolve from outside and know ourselves and then know God. So such life, when we just read such three stories of those who transcended above body consciousness, known God, and inner eye open to see God working in all creation, then also we are induced, we should also see. Those who got very strong yearning for that, God resides within us, in each body. He makes some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where He is manifest. That manifesting God in Him withdraws His attention from outside, takes it to the tenth door in the body and opens the inner eye to see the God into expression power, the light and sound principle of God. Who can unite us to God? Only God alone can unite us. He has got no equal, no father, no mother. So, this is the mystery of life that we'll solve in this man body. If you have got the golden opportunity now, how far we have succeeded so far. If we have succeeded, well and good. We achieve the object of life. If we are not yet succeeding, then we should hurry up, do something. Outward scriptures only tell us what is what happening. Master's parallel thoughts are there. Now if you want to see, then we should unravel this man body. Those who come to the Master, they tell them to read the big Veda of the man body, the true Bible of the man body. Because all experiences of the Masters who tapped inside and traversed into the beyond, their statements are recorded in scriptures. If we want to see, we read the scriptures. We are induced, we should all see. But if we learn how to tap inside, rise above body consciousness and traverse into beyond, we will see those very facts which are given in the books. Scriptures we see for your own. So all scriptures came from where? From the man body. Those who transcend into the beyond traverse inside. And they bear testimony to it. And those who come to them, they also, when they get the experience, they say the same thing. That is why it is given out that don't believe in the words of a master unless you see for your own self. God is light, that's right. If it just opens our inner eye, gives us some experience of light within more or less, you can say there is light, there is God. Those who have not seen it, so all what we do, Guru Amar Das was the third guru of the sixth. He was in search of God for 70 long years, visited all places of worship, and met all men of the different scriptures who were following different scriptures and practices. When he came to the feet of the second guru and got this demonstration from within, he gave out one thing. What? Those who praise God without seeing Him are blind. That is blind work they are doing. You read in scriptures, God is light. You see light, then say God is light, then saw light. Otherwise it is only blind work. Kabir gave. He said, well, look here, I see all around, all are blind men. Very sweeping remark, of course. But in terminology of the saints, a blind man is one who, not that who has got no eyes on the forehead, but whose inner eye is not open. He says, had there been one or two, I would have talked to them. Wherever I see, all are blind. So Master says, see and then say, God is light. When you don't see, you see, how can you have full love for Him? Excuse me. We have love for the world, why? Because we see them. We enjoy their company. And if we say, God, God is love, we should love God, how can you know unless you see Him? And this seeing experience, or capital you might say, is given by a saint. He opens your third eye or the single eye to see the light of God, hear the voice of God. When you enjoy yourself, then naturally love overflows. So that is the complaint of the people. Well, dear friend, Master, you say love God. All Master say that. Why, how can you love God unless you see Him or enjoy His company? And for that reason they say, go to your Master whose eyes is open, He will give you demonstration of how the inner eye is open and see the first experience of God, then naturally love will also. These are the, I have not touched very long, only give the digest of the teachings of the scriptures at our command. So they don't come to destroy but to fulfill. They don't touch your social bodies. Remain where you are. That's the first step you have taken. You have to take issue. Because you are social being. There are differences in their way of living according to the different climatic influences or different customs prevailing. For instance, if you go to a Sikh temple to sit with covered head is a sign of respect. If you sit there and there, then they take it as a disrespect according to the custom. If you go to the churches, you sit with bare head is a sign of respect. So these two differences are due to the customs prevailing there. In Makkah, Medina, in Arab desert, that's the water. They say, all right, if you got enough of water, then only have to wash your hands, feet and face. Wudu, it is called. And they lay down the provision over there. If there's no water at all, then be submerged yourself with the earth. That's called tayammum. The purpose is sit wide awake when you sit for prayer. When the water is in abundance, they say, unless you take a bath, your worship is not accepted. This is the exotic side. Masters carry, all right, be true Hindu when you see light. Be a true Christian if you see light with him. Be a true Sikh if you see light with him. So these symbols you find in all outer churches. Now the pity it is, may I go further, those you have forgotten, for want of practical people, their body is the temple of God. With the grace of a master, you can see, you can open, who will open the inner eye, you will see the body, the true temple of God. Others who have not like that, the outer models which are made to, as model to show that such like your man body has such like symbols within light and sound. Those who are eyes are not opened, they say outer churches or temples of pleasure are the beyond and the end all. God forbid if any minaret of any temple or any holy places is broken or demolished, they are ready to demolish two temples of 100 on that. So man body is the highest in all creation. It is worshipped by angels. We are fortunate, we have got the man body, the golden opportunity afforded to us by God to know Him and to know ourselves first. And that we can do only in man body so long as we have got the man body. So make the best use of it, is all the Master says. They don't touch your social body or remain where you are. The purpose for which you are joined is to know God, and God cannot be known by the outward faculty, mind or intellect. It is soul alone who can know God. For that you must know yourself. Life knows the life. I have given you only digest form, what little I have come to, by reading scriptures, various scriptures, and by sitting at the feet of the Master. Such like Master have been given in all countries, east or west, their thoughts are fellow. So I thank you, you have given me a patient hearing, what I have come to know, and consider calmly how far you can derive benefit from it. Experience is lying two things, you see, main given by all scriptures. There are many aspects, not four only. There are many aspects of God. But the main experience of God which is laid down, the symbols of which are laid down in the churches, are temples, the enlightened sound. Shottimara and Jyotimara. And there are so many other aspects of life which can be taken as that. His Master, our Master, there is no question. The question is about the scriptures, what they give us. Scriptures are there, all speak of the same thing. If he has got four, that's all right, well and good. But the experience given must last. Not only that, they may have the first day and does not last after that. That is done by regular practice from day to day. If he has got that Master, blessed he is. That's all right. We have become ignorant. This ignorance starts from where? From the body. We are having the body, wearing the body, not the body. But we are identified with it so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. And we are attached to the world. Because soul is of the same essence as that of God. God is all love, and love is innate in our souls. Its attribute is unique to just be attached to somebody. Soul had to be attached to God, all consciousness within him, but he is attached to the outside world. That is named as attachment. So all this ignorance starts from where? Or this delusion starts from where? From the man body. We are having the man body, we are not the man body. So the only way to come out of ignorance is to rise above body consciousness, are breaking the roof of the prison house, as Maulana Rumi puts it, are to be born anew, are to be twice born. You know, these are thoughts available everywhere. But this you can learn from where? How to rise above body consciousness. How to come in contact. Now I have given you explanation that the seat of the soul is at the back of the eye. Controlled by mind, mind is controlled by outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are driven like anything by the outward desire. We are identified with that. How to come out of this delusion? One birth is in the body, the other into the beyond. The demonstration of it can be had at the feet of somebody who dies daily. St. Paul said, I die daily. Take cross daily. What is cross? So same teaching, basic teaching are the same in all scriptures which are with us today. But on account of want of practical people, we have forgotten. Now outer temples were made dome-shaped after the model of man body and put in the symbols of light and sound within. Churches were made no-shaped, There also you find two symbols of light and sound. Masks are according to the correct shaped. There also you got the symbol of light. So a true Christian is one who sees the light of God. True Hindu is one who sees, lights the candles and rings the bell when worshipping God, having those symbols outside. And a Sikh is one who sees the effulgent light in the man body.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last half of a talk given by Master in Eastbourne, England on September 14th, 1972. It was called The Way Back to God. Our reader this morning is Sheila Gilmore.
Good morning. I am picking up where I left off in the teachings of Kirpal Singh, the book 3 on meditation, in the section called Obstacles of the Mind. Do you know what is the underlying basis of Maya or delusion? Its roots lie in the physical body from where it springs and spreads around like a gigantic upas tree. We readily forget that we are ensouled bodies and not merely physical bodies. It is the soul currents which permeate through and through the physical plane whereby it is enlivened, and they in turn get their sustenance from a higher life principle known as the Holy Nam, or the Word. So long as that divine power is working in us, we are alive. And as soon as that power is withdrawn, the whole structure collapses like a pack of cards, and it is then said, "Dust thou art, and unto dust returneth." It is better to guard the tendency of each other, because the objective mind is very powerful in the physical plane, and it is mutual satsang only which checks out evil tendencies. Society of the people tends to scatter the mind. Mind is the most powerful, clever, and cunning enemy. And to release the spirit from its bondage, it is necessary to break attachments from the alluring material objects, which are not ours and have been evolved by matter and Maya. Human nature is the same everywhere. The Pindi mind does not like to be subdued because it has been free for so long and has become so much absorbed in this outer world that it has not only forgotten the worlds within, but it has forgotten its own source, the Brahmandi mind. Instead of controlling the senses, it is now subject to them, and thus constantly wanders from one subject to another without anything to rest upon. If, by good luck, it is comparatively free from the anxieties of life and hears of the worlds within, and occasionally has a point glimpse of the mere outskirts of these worlds, then instead of going in and bearing mastery over them, it is, alas, held out by fame, the last infirmity of noble minds, as Milton calls it. The fame and honor given by people keep it out just as much as ears are held by sweet music and the eye is held by attractive objects. In the guise of doing good to others, it deceives itself, and in ignorance knows not that the valuable time is being lost. First know thyself, and then preach. It is not proper to teach of a thing when one has not the first-hand knowledge of it. Step by step, the Master is opening up new vistas of right understanding by telling us what the root cause of this misconception is. He says that it is foolish for the human mind to be attached to outer fancies, infatuated by the colorful shell, and caring little for the sweet kernel within. The mind may be likened to a parasitical plant which has no roots of its own, but draws its sustenance from the host tree, to which it tenaciously holds. In exactly the same way, the mind in itself has no separate existence per se, but is a sheer projection of one's mental makeup and is inextricably mixed up with the sense objects through the senses. At its lowest level, it is bound to the body, while at its other end, the highest level, it is subtle enough to draw its sustenance from the soul. You must not feel disheartened and try to regain your inner happiness by doing your very best and leaving the rest to the gracious Master Power working overhead. Even the darkest cloud has a silver lining somewhere. He is fully aware of your distress and awaiting most eagerly to receive you within in faithful meditations. You are to be on the guard lest your subconscious mind is fed with thoughts of gloom and morbidity. It makes no distinction between constructive and destructive thought impulses. It works with the material you feed it through your thought impulses. The subconscious mind will translate into reality a thought driven by fear just as readily as a thought driven by courage or faith. Just as electricity will turn the wheels of industry and render useful service if used constructively, or snuff out life if wrongly used, you are free to a great extent in this respect to be receptive to the thought impulses of faith, loving devotion, humility, and self-surrender, which will in turn bless you with peace and harmony. You must not dwell much on your confusion, but meet every situation with courage. My love and blessings are with you. The next section is called Befriend the Mind. Is there any good or helpful characteristic of the mind? Yes, mind, like Janus, has another face as well. If it is trained properly by gentle persuasion and kindly words of advice, with a little patting now and then, it can be converted from a formidable foe into a valuable friend and a helping hand to the soul in its search to bring about this conversion. And when it is done, one can have no better helpmate than the mind. It has the capacity, chameleon-like, to take on the color of the ground where it squats, and that indeed is a redeeming feature. When living on the circumference of life, it expands outwards, downward. But rooted as it is in the Gagan, it is not impervious to the higher and holier influences of a master soul to whom it responds, and he channelizes it the other way about. The mind is undoubtedly our enemy and is too superior in strength to be annihilated. It is an innovation introduced by Swamiji, who tells us to make friends with the mind, which is an agent of the negative power and in its present state an enemy of the soul. Instead of fighting with it right and left and to no purpose, we may make the best use of the mind in a friendly way. You know that the mind has a tendency to tread on much beaten tracks. That is, it creates grooves of habit and mechanically acts in a repetitive manner. Just see for yourself. If you do something at a fixed time and continue doing so for a number of days at the same time, a habit is formed, and after some time it will become part and parcel of your daily routine. So this is the easiest way of overpowering this powerful idiot, instead of fighting with it outright in an unequal struggle. We can turn to our advantage this weakness by devoting regular time to the holy meditations at the fixed time with religious zeal and punctuality. It will be seen that after some time, the inner revelations will arm you with something far superior, and the mind itself, which used to resent inversion, will also start relishing the same and gradually give up its past pleasures. The Master gives us a positive approach for the solution of this riddle, which is so easy and interesting to solve by making a friendly alliance with the mind instead of making it an inveterate foe. Nothing can be gained by cursing the mind, for the mind is no small thing. So the Master's advice is to befriend it. The mind's habit is to drag everything downward. Yet, as your friend, even if it wants to hurt you, it will not do so. Under such an arrangement, he might even cooperate with you. If he desires food, then agree. Yes, I will give you food, but first let us do a little meditation, then we will have food. If you immediately refuse the food, he will be tormented with the desire for it. He is like a stubborn donkey. The more you restrict him, the more stubborn he becomes. It is a very accurate definition of the mind. If you make a note in a book, "Do not read page so-and-so," that will be the first page people will read. They won't be able to resist the temptation. So make your mind a companion. Don't fight with him. The Satguru advises the soul to take the mind along if it wants to return home. He never says to ignore the mind or leave it behind, but that the soul should understand and make it agreeable. As long as the man does not kill the physical mind and withdraw from the sense level, he cannot proceed. One must leave all sense attractions and rise above body consciousness. Otherwise, it remains impossible to go higher and taste the nectar of the Lord. Excessive eating and drinking and frittering away the attention on worldly sights, sounds, and sensations, all these are outer enjoyments which deny one the bliss of the inner enjoyments. Lord Buddha said we should be desireless, for desire is but sense enjoyment. Only by stepping aside from all this can one truly take a step ahead. If you can take the mind with you, it will be easier. But if you forget yourself and your aim in the mind's enjoyments, you will lose all desire to progress. Make it your companion. And make it understand the situation, for the mind is unhappy, so much so that at times it cries out in torment. Make a friend of the mind. It is our cruel enemy, which will go on tormenting our life, but by making friends with it, we take the first step toward gaining the desired control. If one makes friends with an enemy, he may not immediately cease his enmity, but it will lessen the length of his cruelty. In this way, there are chances of his becoming stilled, during which time you will be more awakened. So it is possible to gain control over the mind only in the company of a Satguru. He will help you to befriend it and so make the path easier. Then it may start to listen to you, whereas it usually does not. Many find this difficulty in meditation, and they say that their mind does not allow them to meditate. With love, make it your companion. Love is such a magnificent thing that it can control even the worst charactered person. No matter how much you may hate your pitiful situation, yet hate will only serve to increase the problem. You may throw all the filth out of a dirty house, Yet the smell of that will spread and permeate not only the interior of the house, but the surroundings too. The true solution is to start washing with the water of love, and gradually the badness will be washed away forever. If you are good to your enemy, his enmity will be softened somewhat. Because of its vast area of rule, everyone is under the mind's control. So among those who practice meditation, very few rise above even the first region. Even fewer rise above the second, and to rise above the third is really something rare. The next section is called Stilling the Mind. Mind is accustomed from ages to hop about and live on things of the outer world. The more it goes out, the more it is scattered and the less peaceful it is. Peace comes from within and not from without. One must invert within to get it. You have been given the way for inversion and staying on within to enjoy peace and bliss in the higher planes. Outer life and inner progress go hand in hand. No spiritual progress can be made without ethical living. Therefore, great stress is laid on the latter. You need not be frustrated. Everything will come in due time by the grace of the Master. Time factor is necessary. Please do not be impatient, but carry on your job steadfastly and lovingly with faith in the Master power. The inner experiences will increase from day to day. Work is worship. During the day when you are busy in your worldly vocation, please be fully devoted to it with diligence so that your mind is fully absorbed in the work you do. Should, however, there be any moments when your mind is free, those moments should be utilized in repeating the five holy names, or sweetly thinking of the Master, or listening to the sound current if that has developed. All this may seem difficult in the beginning, but slowly and slowly the mind gets into the habit, and soon it begins to like and enjoy the meditations and this sort of truthful and straight life. The outer failings are to be viewed with a keen eye, and the failures are to be removed from day to day. There is a sound of truth vibrating within, a song which is sung in every being. There is a great attraction in hearing this sound, through which all other attractions will fade away, and the stage of senses will be left behind. One becomes free of them. This mouse mind has become heavy by drinking the weight of God's name. The mind can be weighted down by the mercury-like quality of the Nam, rendering it impossible to run around loose or engage in its ever-constant oscillation. There is no other means of controlling the mind. The accounts of Lord Krishna's life state that he jumped into the river Jamuna and controlled the hydra-headed serpent there with the sound of his flute. This many-headed serpent is the mind, which has 1,000 ways of inflicting its poison, and without that sound from the beyond, it cannot be controlled or overcome. Outer intellect and knowledge have no power over it. For though it may remain quiet for a short time, it will then run away again. If you cover a fire with ashes, it would seem like there is no fire at all. Yet a strong breeze will revive it and reveal the heat lying beneath. However, if you throw water upon it, even 1,000 tornadoes would fail to revive it. Brave is he who has control over his mind and senses, for the inward progress is in proportion to this control. It is the repetition that brings the mind in, and the sound current that pulls it up. Please try to still the vibration of the mind, and when it stands collected in the eyes, you will pass on to the regions of light. But they could benefit still further from mastery of the mind if they could but learn the sacred technique of self-analysis and withdrawal of the sensory currents from the body. Herein you will certainly agree with Swamiji, who says that the human mind is gravely foolish in having fallen prey to the outer sense enjoyments and is endlessly entangled in worry and misery. You know that the mind, at present, resents inner silence and stillness, as it has a tendency to roam without for eons and eons without end. You can keep it engaged in outer pursuits for hours at a time, but if you were to attempt inner silence and stillness, it would cry out and run riot, for then it behaves like a small babe who, when locked in a dark cell, shrieks, cries, and knocks to get out. Now, if the baby were provided with some sweets to eat and toys to play with, it would stop crying. Exactly similar is the case with the human mind. The living master, who holds the key into the beyond and provides the child disciple with inner links of divinity to carry him into higher regions, gets a feeling of satisfaction. You know that the inner bliss is supreme and unrivaled. There's nothing similar to it on earth. But alas, the mind is so much intoxicated with the lust for woman, wine, and wealth that it fails to visualize and comprehend the greatness of the spiritual beatitude within. But patient and persistent efforts for keeping the mind still will gradually unlock the treasures of divinity within you with the grace of the Master. Always be buoyant and fresh when you sit for meditation and wait patiently, like a loving baby looking up into the eyes of the nursing mother. Mind is enamored of pleasures and runs after them whenever and wherever they can be found. It is stilled in the physical presence of the Master. It is by his divine radiation that the souls are attracted toward him. And the mind which gets consciousness from the soul is stilled for the time being. Tulsi Sahib says, "The attention or the outer expression of soul is controlled in the company of a sadh. It is only then that the mind attains some stillness. But pleasures of the flesh are quite different from true happiness born of inner peace in the soul. If the mind is provided with the appetency to relish something sublime and gets an opportunity of doing so, it knows the value of real happiness, with the result that the sense pleasures lose all their charm, and thereafter they seem insipid and valueless. All dedicated work is worship. Great is man, and providence has blessed everyone with untold energy and strength, which, if properly harnessed, can bring in desired results. Just learn to do one thing at a time, and that too with single-minded attention and devotion. Ordinarily, the sun's rays do not burn, but when the same are passed through a convex lens, these become so powerful that they burn anything placed in their range. Similar is the case with concentrated attention, which will enable you to progress in every sphere of your life, including meditation. Please be rest assured, my love and blessings are always with you in all noble undertakings and enterprises. In proportion to the loosening of the union of mind with matter, the union of mind with soul strengthens. Carefully, therefore, examine the tendencies of the mind and study its weaknesses and try to overcome them. So long as there is dirt in the mind, it cannot stay within. Its attachments draw it out. Whichever pan of the balance is loaded, that pan goes downwards. Mind is our enemy, and like an enemy, its movements should be watched. The whole world, man, animal, bird, or insect, dances to the tune of the mind. Every creature is being tossed up and down by it. The only place when mind dances is when it is brought before the current. Only then it becomes helpless. It cannot be controlled by the study of scriptures, nor by performance of austerities. Neither the soldier, nor the warrior, nor the conqueror, nor the moralist have succeeded against it. He who ever succeeded against it did so by catching the sound current. All right, that's the end of that section. I'm moving to the July 1971 Satsandesh, the Master's talk, called The Destiny of a Gurumukh. When a true master accepts a disciple, that person's status changes. We were lost wanderers whom not one befriended. Accepted by the Satguru, we were then recognized. He becomes an accepted soul under the care of the master. We all live in the human form, but a really true human being is very rare. One who has compassionate feelings for others, who is the very image of love, so much so as to be filled with nothing else, can be called a true human being. Such a being has the power to radiate this love to the whole world. God is love, but we have not seen him. However, we can see the personification of him manifested in some true human being, who is the power of God working on earth in a human pole. That person is love personified. Many kinds of strength have a certain power, but how can one gain a portion of that power? A strong man's physical strength is a part of him. He seems to be one with it. But by witnessing the extent of its power, one can get a feeling of what strength is like. So masters give some indication of what God is that can be observed, and that radiation of power can be transmitted to others. They proclaim, there is God, we have seen him. Guru Nanak says, Nanak's emperor is clearly seen. Christ told his followers to behold the Lord. He gave no further explanation. From Kabir Sahib we have, Kabir says, my doubts were removed when I saw the all-pervading Lord. Many masters have made similar statements. And where is that Lord? The thing is, where is he not? The whole of creation is his. With one word, millions of rivers were created. His thought was, I am one and wish to be many. So the God into expression power came forth from him, and the whole creation came into being. All the world we see is the image of God. The image of God is before us. All the holy scriptures tell us this, that God is everywhere. But the masters say, we have seen him. After our getting this human form, the greatest aim before us should be to realize God. The scriptures all cry out, God, 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 in different languages and in various ways. But when the masters come, they prove beyond all doubt that God exists, and they bear witness to having seen him. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Who are these sons or children of God? They are those in whom he is manifested. They are the Word made flesh. In the Guru, he himself manifests and distributes the Shabad. In desperation, the true seeker cries out, "Anyone who will connect me to God." Through the advent of such a master soul, the people can gain actual connection with the existence of God. Otherwise, they live in doubt, though they may strive to realize him through books or through any of the practices. Some say that God does exist and he vibrates in every being. Some say that God is light and he illuminates the entire creation. There is no place where he is not. But the question remains, has anyone seen him? Even if one man has seen the Lord, there's hope indeed that others may have the same experience. This type of privileged person is sent to the world by the Lord himself, and he may come in any race, any country, with the sole purpose of guiding the child, humanity, to bring it to the Father. All right, I'm going to stop there. I was reading first from the teachings of Kirpal Singh, Book 3 on meditation. I began with the section called Obstacles of the Mind on page 271. And when I finished that, I went to the July 71 Sat Sandesh, the Master's Talk, The Destiny of a Gurumukh. Thank you all, and thank you so much, Master.
And thank you, Sheila, for reading for us. There were 86 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Thank you for your patient hearing. What I have come to know, I have come for you. It is for you to, for calm consultation, how it appears to you.